Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Hour number three as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house, home? Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Mike, Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We have college and NFL picks coming your way later on this hour. We kick off this hour, however, and kick it off in style as we're joined by Brett McMurphy. Stadium College Football Insider joins us now. Hey, Brett, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning. Happy early Thanksgiving, man.
Brett, what's up?
Hey, thanks, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, Brett. A lot to get into with you as we look across college football. Let's start with the latest rankings. Did you have an issue? And listen, you know, if teams remain undefeated, everything will take care of itself. But what about the idea of Ohio State jumping over LSU?
Yeah, you know, I thought if both teams won out and won their respective conference championships, that Ohio State would ultimately jump LSU. I was surprised that they did it at this point in the season, because I thought at this point right now I actually would put LSU slightly above Ohio State, but with Ohio State finishing with ranked Michigan and then a ranked either Wisconsin or Minnesota in the Big Ten Championship, and then LSU only playing ranked Georgia to finish the season, I thought that would give Ohio State the edge. So I think ultimately the committee basically values Ohio State's overall performance, both offensively and defensively. You can't argue with LSU's offense, but defensively they haven't been as strong. So I think it was a combination of the cliched eye test and also the resume is close enough that they just feel Ohio State's a better overall team. And I think it's fairly significant because, you know, the main thing is, you know, if you get the number one seed, you stay out of the two hole, and what that means is you avoid Clemson, because I know Clemson hasn't played anybody this year, but they're the defending champs. They've won, you know, 27 consecutive games, 25 consecutive games, whatever it is. And I really think they are going to be the toughest out of this, whoever ends up in the Final Four. So if we still have 2 weeks left, it could get shaken up, but I think with what Ohio State has left on their schedule, now that they're at number one, I don't see them falling out of the top spot if they can win out convincingly these last 2 weeks.
So, Brett, hey, you mentioned Clemson. So let me ask you, man. In your opinion, right, what's the most? What would be more of an appealing first round matchup? Would it be Ohio State versus Clemson or LSU versus Clemson?
Well, when you say appealing, are you talking about? Like, for entertainment, or what?
What's the better game? What's just the better football game? Well, the better matchup.
You know, I think either Ohio State or LSU versus Clemson would be great.
Right.
if I'm Ohio State or LSU, I don't want to play Clemson until I get to
me
the
neither.
Final.
Yeah, I agree.
Because look, Dabo Sweeney's going to have a huge chip on his shoulder. I mean, they started out the first rankings; they were only ranked fifth. Now they've got up to number three. They're going to stay there unless somebody above them loses, which, you know, is significant because, you know, they'll probably end up, you know, the number one seed based on geography will go to the Peach Bowl because that's closest to their campus. And then the 2-3 game will be at the Fiesta Bowl. So, you know, it could impact fan following and that sort of thing, but I mean I'd love to see their game. I'd like to see Utah get into the
Final
Four too.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
Just because I really think people don't realize how good they are. I don't think enough people know enough about Utah. They are really, really good. The problem is their schedule. They have yet to beat a top 25 ranked team. Obviously, that would change if they beat Oregon for the Pac-12 championship. But, you know, I'd love to see, you know, Utah play Ohio State. You know, the one question with Ohio State, maybe we'll find this out this week, is they really have not been, you know, they haven't been tested. They haven't had to play a close game yet. This will be their you know, most hostile road environment. How does Justin Fields react to that? We'll have to find out. I just know, you know, after Clemson squeaked by North Carolina, I talked to Dabo Sweeney about Trevor Lawrence, And, you know, everybody was criticizing Lawrence and Clemson at that point. And he's like, look, Brett, this is the first time in 2 years that Trevor Lawrence has been in a game where the game's been, the margin's been less than two touchdowns going into the fourth quarter. He goes, we don't know how he's going to respond to that. You can't replicate that in practice no matter what you want to do. And I think that's kind of similar to Justin Fields in Ohio State. What happens if they're at Michigan and they have some turnovers, there's some adversity, and it's a close game in the fourth quarter? Will they continue to steamroll people, or could there be some hiccups?
You know, Brett, how about Oklahoma here? For the Sooner fan that's on the outside looking in right now, what do the Sooners need to get themselves into those playoffs?
Well, I don't think the committee knows what they think of Oklahoma right now. I think they've been really inconsistent because Oklahoma ranked 10th a couple of weeks ago, and then they go win at Baylor. And they win it at number 13, Baylor. So what happens? The committee moves them exactly one spot up. I thought they should have moved them up more. You look at Oklahoma's overall resume, and if LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State wins out, we'll say they're the top three. So the fourth spot will come down to Oklahoma, Utah if they win, and then Alabama. Well, Alabama will wins out. They will be 1-1 against top 25 teams. Utah will be 1-1. Against top 25 teams. Oklahoma, depending on if Oklahoma State and Iowa State remain in the top 25, Oklahoma could have four wins against the final top 25 teams in the college football playoff rankings. And if they win the Big 12 championship, in the history of the college football playoff, you've never had a team among the top four teams in the final rankings. You've never had a team that had more top 25 victories and the same number of losses with comparable teams that did not get into the playoff. So based on that history, look, they don't go by what they do in the past, but based on the past committees, they've always valued top 25 wins over anything else, as long as you have the same number of losses. So based on that, it looks promising that Oklahoma would be able to jump over Utah and Alabama. But I'm just wondering if the committee doesn't value OU over Utah right now, and OU right now has three top 25 wins, then Utah beats Oregon, OU beats Baylor again, beats Oklahoma State. You know, I'm not so certain that they will jump OU over Utah. I think OU has to be dominated in Stillwater this week in Bedlam, and I think they need to handle Baylor. If they win a couple of close games, which they've basically done the last 3 weeks, I think Utah stays in front of them. But I think if OU can be decisive in those games, I know there's going to be a huge outcry about brand name and this and that. Ultimately, OU will get in, and it will be simply because they'll have four top 25 wins, and Utah and Alabama will only have one. And I think the Sooners then get the fourth spot and play Ohio State.
Yeah, you know, Brett, I understand it's a lot, and you just laid it all out perfectly, man. Thanks for that. But, like, so... You know, in that fourth spot when the dust settled, I mean, it's understandable that it could be Georgia, it could be Bama, it could be OU, it could be Utah. I'm with you personally. I'd like to see Utah. I don't speak for Moose, but I know we've both talked up Utah a good amount, so yeah. It might be kind of cool to see Utah. Yeah, and Utah in that fourth spot. When the dust settles and everything is locked in, I mean, just put yourself out there for a second. Who gets that fourth spot? Is it Bama? Well, is it Georgia? You know, Utah, OU. What do you think?
Right. Well, Georgia has to win. A Georgia loss and they're out of it. So that's simple. You know, look, I know this never happens in college football that all the favorites win.
Right,
you know,
right.
Hey, there's never any upsets, right?
Sure.
But I'll pretend like we won't have any major upsets. So Ohio State, LSU, Clemson are going to be your top three in some kind of order.
Correct.
I think OU, if OU wins out, they get in. I really do. I think even though right now they're back at number seven,
right.
I think, look, Utah and OU are both going to jump Alabama because they will have conference championships and the committee values that. Georgia loses to LSU, they have to shuffle down. So as long as those top three win and OU wins out, I think OU gets the jump over Utah. I'd love to see Utah in there. I think, you know, they're vastly underrated before the season. You know, I picked them to get to the college football playoff and win the Pac-12. So I guess selfishly, I kind of want to see them, but I just really think they're that good. They beat every Pac-12 team by at least 18 points except for a road win at Washington when they only won by five. And then, of course, they lost when their running back, Zach Moss, was hurt against USC. And now that USC team, given up for dead, is going to finish 8-4 in the top 20. So ultimately, I think OU wins. You know, if everybody wins out, if anybody slips up, then, you know, it's whoever survives will win. Alabama's going to need basically Utah, Oklahoma, and somebody 1-3 to lose for them to have a chance. I think they have absolutely no shot to get in.
We're talking to Brett McMurphy, Stadium College Football Insider. All right, Brett, let's move on to some of the matchups this weekend. Get your thoughts here. And the big one at the Big House in Ann Arbor, noon kickoff, the great rivalry, Ohio State and Michigan. You know, Wolverine fans are hopeful, but maybe this is the year. How good of a game do you think we're going to get Saturday in Ann Arbor?
Well, for Michigan fans, I guess it can't be any worse than the past few years, right? You know, the thing is, since Harbaugh's infamous, you know, this is our finest hour comment at halftime of the Penn State game, in the 3.5 games since that statement, I mean, Michigan has looked like a totally different team. It's been 4.5 games.
Yeah,
they dominated Notre Dame. Obviously, Maryland and Michigan State and Indiana weren't the toughest of competition. But while they dominated offensively, which was a good sign, I think more importantly, they stopped turning the ball over. They've had one turnover in those last 4.5 games. In the first 6.5 games, they had 14 turnovers. So they've figured out something, and I think it's really worked well. I mean, kind of what I referenced earlier, what happens to Ohio State when they get into a close game in the fourth quarter? You know, they actually looked human against Penn State. They turned the ball over a little bit. And look, this is Justin Fields' first year starting. He's played at Indiana. He's played at a Nebraska team that's at below 500. He's played at Northwestern. He's played at Rutgers. I mean, there's a lot of libraries that are louder than those places right now. Now he goes in to Michigan. You know, and they're going to be frenzied, incredible atmosphere. Can Ohio State handle that surroundings and atmosphere? If they can, then they'll be fine. But if, you know, a lot of weird things happen when teams go on the road. And look, Ohio State, now they're back at number one. I'm not saying they're playing not to win, but sometimes teams play not to lose to kind of keep that ranking, and that affects them a little bit. And also for Ryan Day, look, he's been incredible. He doesn't get mentioned enough in Coach of the Year consideration of what he's done. I think this is a better team with Ryan Day than it was with Urban Meyer. But this is also his biggest game as a head coach, and we'll have to see how the Buckeyes respond to that.
You know, another huge one, Brett, is obviously the Iron Bowl with Auburn trying to completely destroy the playoff hopes of number five Alabama. You know, a sophomore quarterback, Mac Jones, to see what he can do against Auburn. What do you think happens in this thing, man? Break this thing down for us, Auburn and Bama.
Yeah, I think I heard on the, you know, in the intro, you guys have your picks coming up. I don't know if it's NFL or college.
Both. We do it all. Both.
Yeah,
we do it all, bro.
Okay, I like the Lightning minus 1.5.
Nice.
You know, I like I actually like Auburn. You know, Alabama, when they've been a favorite of less than a touchdown the last seven times, they're only 1-6 against the spread, and they've only won three of those games. So what does that tell me? It tells me the majority of games that Alabama plays, they are just simply so much better than the opponent. And this is in no way to be negative or derogatory against Nick Saban. But I think this is a huge game for Auburn. It's at Auburn. They are a different team at home compared to on the road. Look, they held LSU to 23 points. They're the only team, and that was at LSU. They're the only team that's held LSU under five touchdowns, and that says a lot. And then, you know, they had the game with Georgia. It was a slugfest. It was 14-21. Auburn's has the best. I know Saban said this is the best team they faced this year. He's saying that to try to, you know, convince the committee that if they win this game, they should be in. They're not going to buy it, though. You know, look, Auburn's a different team at home. They have one of the best defensive lines in the country. And also, Matt Jones, Alabama's quarterback, takes over for Tua Tagovailoa. You know, this is not Western Carolina. You and I and eight other guys could have beat Western Carolina.
Yeah.
This is a whole different animal. I think this is a huge game for Auburn. You know, look, it's not going to impact them bowl-wise. They're not going to make a New Year's Six, but you referenced it at the start. They can officially knock Alabama out of the playoff, and we've seen some crazy stuff happen in the Iron Bowl. I think the Tigers take care of Bama at home.
You know, Brett, a big story in the Northeast, and certainly a guy that's got, you know, college ties, NFL ties, Ohio State, Rutgers. What happened between the Scarlet Knights and that Rutgers football program and Pat Hobbs, the athletic director, and Greg Schiano, where it fell apart there, where he would, right now, you know, obviously he pulled his name out of the hopper. He's not returning to Rutgers to once again to be their head coach.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, Rutgers was prepared to, you know, offer 8 years, $4 million a year, $25 million of that $32 million deal would be fully guaranteed. And, you know, Schiano, look, he was there before. He had a great deal of success when they were in the Big East. You know, from the people I talked to, it seemed like that I think Schiano had an interest in going there, but it's like he wasn't fully convinced he wanted to go there. So he basically, you know, requested that all of these different things. So kind of like to convince himself that he wanted it. And then when it ultimately got down to it, they just could not reach an agreement. You know, and obviously the Rutgers fan base is up in arms because they thought, well, this is the only guy that can turn this program around. You know, nothing against Greg Schiano, but Rutgers is in a different place than it was when they were in the Big East. And maybe he would have had success. Maybe he wouldn't have. If it was me, you know, look, I would have accepted a lesser contract because, you know, if you win after, you know, 3 or 4 years, your contract's going to get torn up. It's going to get renewed. You're going to get more money. They ultimately couldn't reach an agreement, and now they move on. But, you know, it's tough because, you know, I know that there were people involved that, you know, it seemed like that they were fatigued by all the demands that Schiano was making, and I understand for making some of those, but I think on the flip side they wanted you know, someone to come in and have some kind of success, or at least not lose as badly as they have been before giving some of these things that were asked for. But ultimately it went on for a long time. It didn't work. And now they're back at square one. And, you know, we'll have to see who they end up with, whoever they get, whether it was Schiano or Nick Saban or Vince Lombardi. I mean, that is probably the toughest, either that or Vanderbilt is the toughest Power Five job. And it's not an easy job because you're in the Big Ten East, and you're butting heads with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State every year. I mean, you start the year realistically hoping that you're not the 13th or 14th best team in the Big Ten, and that's not a good spot. So we'll have to see where they go from here.
Brett McMurphy, college football insider for Stadium. Hey, Brett, thanks for the time this morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, all right?
Brett, thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Good luck on the Lightning minus one and a half.
There you go. All over it, Brett. All over it. There you go. Hop on board.
I know someone wrecked a little note from us. All right.
My Lightning. Mental note. Check. You know that, Taz. You know
yes,
me too
sir.
Well. It's Taz and the Moose. We come back. We got your college football picks next on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz. Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, that is right. We got your college picks coming your way straight ahead. Taz has got his Fresco open. He's fired up. It's a Wednesday, but it's really a Friday for us as we're off the next couple of days.
We're all here,
yes.
They're all here.
We're all here. They're all here.
What's that?
Well, I'll tell you.
What's all here? What am I missing? I don't know what I'm missing.
No, you know. You get it. You just don't see it, but you get it. Oh, once you have some food around, they all pop up. Everybody's popping up.
Oh, yeah. That's
this true. Show is like a ghost town. 9.5 out of 10 days.
Yeah.
Once you bring in a box of food, they all show up, Andrew.
Whoa. Well, they had to scoot someone away.
Excuse me?
Someone had to get scooted
away. Oh, yeah. I was actually there for a
like an old school Italian grandma with the broom.
Right. Dude, no, you're right. It was awkward. I was there.
Shooing them off.
Like, no, none for you, sir. Go away.
Ouch. Who was that individual?
That was just
bogus. Who was that person?
I don't know who got shooed. I was hoping it's Zach.
Your favorite person, and I say that sarcastically.
No, good. Yes. So it was Zach. Good. I saw him leering through the glass. Who brought egg sandwiches?
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
One of our good friends
he
did.
He came in and tried to strike up a conversation
about Carl Banks.
Who I've done shows with.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Did you see Carl Banks is on the finalist list for the Hall of Fame, Mike?
I got that too, actually.
And then Mike said, get out.
I didn't say just get out. I said, I'm producing right now.
And
hold
Mike
on.
Said, get lost.
Producing.
Which was basically making a phone call.
Yeah, he said, he said, get lost.
Oh, it was great. And I just walked out like awkward, like, ooh.
Yeah, right.
Well, he then went down the hallway and tried to hit up Boomer and Geo compound for their own, because they have their own breakfast down
what
there.
What do they have there? What do they have?
They just straight order from a diner. Like, you know,
we
civilians.
Get complimentary food.
Exactly.
Oh, so they got individual breakfast.
Correct.
Oh, so you can't go over there. He can't leer over Boomer's while he's eating his pancakes or French toast.
No.
Well, because, see, Andrew, to him, he called it the compound and. If it's anything Boomer and Geo.
The promised land, might call
he's
it.
He's impressed.
Oh, my God, F-I-N. Oh, my God.
Bogus refers to it as heaven.
Right, it's heaven. There you go.
It is.
It's heaven.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, they have a compound. We have a studio. They have a compound.
Yes.
Yeah, you really do. Andrew, you don't even know you're doing it. It's embarrassing.
Oh, no, I know.
It's embarrassing. Like,
I don't know what's going on with my nose.
You have a problem.
I can't clear out my nostrils.
You have to go to a surgeon. ENT.
I've blown my nose like 50 times this morning. It won't stop running. I took medicine.
You probably have a deviated septum.
I do have that. You know, I've said that on the air already.
Sorry.
thank you.
I know
thank
a lot of people have.
Thank you for diagnosing me, Doc.
I don't know. You probably have a nasal infection.
You're probably right.
You probably have a nasal infection.
You're
is
right
it burning?
No. There's no burning sensation.
That's coming tomorrow. You'll have the burning tomorrow. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That's nice. Guy driving to work right now listening to that.
Yeah.
He crashed his truck.
I saw DA. He looked at me like, oh, my God, he's here today.
Oh, DA's keeping score on who's out sick now, too?
Well,
I didn't know DA was doing that. I didn't picture DA being
DA's
that type of guy.
Like, DA's here. Here's a Lysol wipe. Wipe it down.
Oh, because of the whole, that's right, because you, I forgot. Yeah, DA sits in your chair when he comes on his show.
Musical chairs at 9 a.m.
He comes in.
Where's the safe zone?
I'm in one chair. Yeah, my car seat. That's not weird. Like I'm a little kid. Yeah, it's like I'm a little kid sitting in a car seat.
Buckle up.
Make sure to fumigate that car seat. Take it from me.
Oof. Yeah, no, I had a little...
All right, then.
City Vineyard Vine Jones. Yeah,
the sausage is not settling well.
Yeah, during the Brett McMurray interview.
McMurphy.
Right.
McMurphy.
During the interview, I did a little...
You're ripping him.
I did a little
left and right.
And Moose gave me a look like...
Yeah. Well, it's loud. I have my headphones on. I mean, gee. Yeah. It was a lot.
I was playing the trombone.
And then Taz gave me the wink and the nod. Like,
attaboy.
I'm glad. Yeah, there you go. I'm glad.
The locker room shadow.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, no, I had a little, but Andrew, you know what? Once the show's, actually, when this show ends at 9 a.m. Eastern every day, nationally, do you just sit in the control room with Al Dukes and Eddie and watch Boomer and Geo talk on the radio?
No, I give them their space.
No, they keep you away.
That's one way to look at it.
That's what it is.
Pete Gass texted me, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I got one from him, too. He was listening on the radio, while we were talking to Chef Mike, and Pete the Body was killing him in a competition, and he was hungry because all the food we were talking about. Pete Guest.
Yes.
Thank God Mike can cook.
Oh, Mike is great.
Yeah, he really bombed.
What does that mean?
Tats
That's sarcastic.
Yeah, because he let us down otherwise. The sandwich was great. The performance and trivia was...
And Bogus was thrown off. He thought we were on video. He's holding up signs behind Bilotti.
No. I wasn't thrown off. I know there's not video, unfortunately. I was just being funny. I made Mike laugh. That's all I needed.
Funny.
I'm laughing again.
Yeah, thank you.
Two for two. Unlike Chef Mike.
They love each other, Andrew and Mike. They really do. I think it's great. They have a good bond. When I first met Mike, he tried to tell me he didn't like Andrew, which is obviously a lie.
Did I really say that?
It was a work. You did. Yeah. I said, I really don't like him. And then I realized these guys are like brothers. So, and then he's on his podcast. You know, everything's the best.
The Great Ray Odyssey.
Random. Yes, the Great Ray Odyssey. Dude, Ray was good. He had a hell of a dropkick.
I'm sure he was.
He used to wrestle in one of those body glove suits, like a surfer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the surfer Ray. He was the surfer. I should have put that in, the surfer Ray Odyssey.
Oh, okay.
He lived in Tom's River.
Did he really?
That's where he lived.
Is that your
I swear to God. He drove
I have to say that half the time. He drove God's honest truth.
A little Nissan pickup truck with one of those hatch covers, and I had no car. So he would drive, and we'd wrestle each other, and he'd have to drop me off like near the building. Then he would circle the building a couple times. And then, because we'd have to try to protect, so we weren't getting in the car together. We would just basically just drive all over the place with no heat. We were wrestling up in Buffalo, wrestling up in Rochester, all the way up to Albany, all these cold areas of New York State, freezing in this little Nissan thing. And I was just so happy that we had a car, just packing lips and laughing, making no money.
That's great.
Yeah, that's what we were doing.
Good kidding. Times.
Ray was good, man. Yeah, he was good. We actually had a WWF tryout against each other. Yeah, against each other.
And they chose you over him.
They didn't choose either of us at that time. This was early. This was before this was ECW.
Early. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so neither of us got chosen. Oh, okay. That was nice. So, but yeah, but no, but then later, my ECW stuff helped me obviously get in, you know, because of that. But Ray just, Ray's a good dude, man. But yeah, so for Ray, he wouldn't like really anybody here, to be honest.
I'm sure he wouldn't.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
All right, we got some college picks coming your way.
Guys,
what's going on, Bogus?
Guys, it was 2000 the last time Duke lost at Cameron to a non-conference opponent. It was St. John's back then. Stephen F. Austin last night.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
The lumberjack.
Actually, listen, let me stop
Paul
this.
Paul Jackson, Gregory in the car, they just love that. Rewind. They're asking my wife to hit Rewind.
Really? You're raising them well.
They do.
Yeah.
Why? Okay. That
the song. I'm a lumberjack. Hit it again.
Gladly.
Okay. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's a lumberjack and he's okay. He sleeps all night and he works all day.
Now
he
takes a turn.
He's a lumberjack. He's okay. He sleeps all night and works all day.
Remember Matt Bourne played Big Josh? He was a lumberjack in WCW.
Of course.
No, but here's the thing with that lumberjack song. Is that like from a cartoon
it's
now?
It's from Monty Python.
Oh, that's old school. Your kids know Monty Python? How old are these
kids?
No,
they just like the song. Oh. The song.
Do they stay for the third verse change?
No.
No, they're gone by then?
No, okay. They've never watched Monty Python. They just would like the beat of the song. It's a goofy song.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think the bit was funny.
Okay.
The Lumberjacks quieted the Crazies 85-83 in OT when Nathan Bain laid one in right before the horn. Duke is the third number one team to lose in the first month of this season. There is already a new number one in college football, Ohio State leapfrogging LSU for the top spot in the playoff rankings, even though both won on Saturday. The Buckeyes started at number one when the first rankings came out. Clemson, Georgia, Alabama stay 3-5. Utah takes over number 6 as Oregon falls all the way to 14th for losing at Arizona State. Luka Doncic was on a 4-game run of 30-plus points and 10-plus assists, but then the Clippers came to town. Paul George led the way, holding Doncic to 22 points on 4-of-14 shooting with 7 turnovers.
We just kept the body on him. You know, we never gave him a good look, and we switched multiple bodies onto him. And just, you know, we tried to throw whatever we could at him. And tonight we were successful with it.
George also scored 26, 28 from Kawhi Leonard in a 114-99 victory. The Nuggets took care of the Wizards, 117-104. Denver and LA on 6-game win streaks. The Steelers will start Devlin Hodges at QB Sunday against the Browns. Not the most ringing of endorsements from Mike Tomlin yesterday when asked why Hodges over Mason Rudolph.
He has not killed us.
He has not killed us is the reason why Hodges gets the play. He started week 6 against the Chargers with Rudolph out with a concussion. He came in last weekend through the deciding 79-yard TD in relief.
Can I read something?
Cincinnati.
Let me interrupt. This is actually
No, I'm done.
Funny.
So you're...
No, you can hang out. You guys know Roman Reigns, of course, right?
Yes.
So, obviously, Georgia Tech's playing Georgia, right, this week, right? So, you know, hello, everybody here? Yeah, so yeah, Georgia's playing Georgia Tech. Right? Okay, I just want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I just retweeted this thing I saw on Twitter, a guy who hates Georgia Tech. So, Roman Reigns played football at Georgia Tech. So, he tweets, this guy, Mac hates Georgia Tech, tweets, Roman Reigns has beaten Triple H, John Cena, The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar, but has never beaten Georgia. And with a picture of Roman Reigns.
There
when
you
played.
Go.
I thought it was pretty funny. Being that we're doing a sports show and a quasi-wrestling chatter
there
here and there.
There you go. Very nice.
I thought that was pretty good funny.
There you go.
There's Roman Reigns when he's rocking the Yellow Jackets uniform. There he is.
Wow, it looks different.
I know, right? It looks a lot different.
He does look different.
Yeah.
Very young. This.
Yeah. I know, right? He was a kid. Yeah.
All right, here we go. College picks. Let's go.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose College Football Picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, here we go. College picks, week 14. It's 2-1 a week ago, I was. 25-14 on the year. Taz was 3-0 a week ago.
Yeah.
He was 23-15-1 on the season. So I have a, what, 1.5 game lead, I believe it is? Yes, 1.5 game lead on Taz here. As we're winding down the college football slate. All right, Taz, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Well, it seems like I always have to go to first. So
there you go.
Okay, that, I thought you would say, well, I'll go first.
I'll
but
go
anyway,
first.
Hey, listen, I got it. All right, so we're going to go a little Iron Bowl Jones. We'll do Iron Bowl. We'll do a little Auburn versus Alabama. I think this is going to be a really good game. I mean, we had Brett on earlier, and we talked about this game. I think it's going to be a really good game. But I got to tell you, home dog is Auburn plus 3.5, I believe, or as we say in the trade, plus 3.5.
Yes.
Remember that bit?
I do remember that.
All right. Anyway, I'll tell you what, I like Auburn this thing. I'll take my 3.5. I think right now, I know, you know, I understand Alabama's sitting 5 right now. They're 10-1. They're on the cusp of being in that fourth spot. I think the spoiler is the spoiler. I think that's going to be the Tigers in this huge rivalry game. Quarterback Mac Jones is excellent. The sophomore's real good. He's got some great wide receivers, a lot of speed. But somehow, some way, I think on senior day, right there in Auburn, Alabama, okay, I'm telling you, I think the senior step up, that defense is awesome for the Tigers. Give me Auburn. I'll take the 3.5.
All right, pick number one for you. Pick number one for me. I'm going to take the Wolverines. I'm going to take Michigan. I'm going to take the 8.5 points at home against Ohio State. I think they're going to give them a game. I don't know. Maybe I'll be painted a fool around 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon as Ohio State runs roughshod over them. However, they've been playing great football over the last 4.5 games. Every guy to a man has talked about this game being their game. It's a big spread. It's 8.5. I'm going to take the Wolverines. I think it's a close game. I think Ohio State probably ends up winning, but I think Michigan makes this a game in the second half. Give me the Wolverines plus 8.5. That's pick number one for me.
I'm taking this game also, and I agree with you. Okay, I'm taking Michigan. I had 9, but I guess it's plus 8.5. We'll go plus 8.5. I'm with you. It's a lot of points. This is, again, another massive rivalry in the big house. It's too many points in that big house. For Ohio State to be able to cover. It's just not going to happen. I understand they're 11-0 right now, and I understand the Buckeyes coming off that huge win against Penn State, and they're a complete team and all that jazz, but they are not going to roll Michigan. Give me the 8.5. So I'm with you. I'll take Michigan.
All right, we're going to go mano a mano in game 2 for me. I'm going to take Bama. I'm going to lay the 3.5 against Auburn. And, you know, I think it's... Listen, Auburn's been good to me. I've been on the Tigers a lot this year. And I it's a rivalry. It's the Iron Bowl. It's the Plains Auburn and all that. I think this Alabama team's going to rally. Mac Jones, a quarterback. And I know it's a much more difficult opponent and in a rivalry game. I just think Alabama's going to dig down here and win this game by a touchdown. Maybe 6. I think they cover 3.5. I can understand why you'd like Auburn plus the points. I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to take Alabama. I'm going to think they find a way to win the game. I think they cover the 3.5. That's pick number 2 for me.
All right, I just mentioned a little bit ago about Roman Reigns at Georgia Tech and all that stuff, and they're playing Georgia. So I'm going to talk about this game here. Georgia is playing Georgia Tech, and they're playing Georgia Tech is home in Atlanta. You know, Georgia Tech comes in the game 3-8. They're not very good. Where Georgia is Georgia. They're 10-1. They're ranked fourth right now, right in line for that playoff. Jake Fromm has not been lights out this year, Moose, as you know, but he's loaded with weapons on his Bulldog team. That all being said, they're laying 28 points. 28 points. That's what they're laying. Home dog Jones is Georgia Tech. Getting 28. Georgia covers. I'll take the Bulldogs. It's going to be a beating. Roman Reigns is going to cry over this one. Georgia Tech is going to do the job in a bad way, meaning they're going to lose. Give me the Bulldogs with the points.
The Bulldogs laying the
laying
points.
The points, yeah.
All right.
You have 28. How many points do you have in that? I have 28. What do you got in that? I'm just curious. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, 28 and a half.
And a half? 28.5.
It's yeah, so, I mean, you can lay 28.
It's fine. So, I'll take Georgia. They're going to beat them up. They're going to beat up Georgia Tech.
All right. I'm going to take... I'm going to take Clemson. I'll take the easy mark, hopefully. I'm going to lay the 27.5. It's four touchdowns against South Carolina. I think Clemson has awoken here, Taz. They're destroying teams left and right. And I think they're going to destroy a Gamecock team that's 4-7. Got off to a staggering start this year. Lost to North Carolina. Questions about Will Muschamp and everything like that. Give me the Tigers of Clemson. They steamroll South Carolina. In-state rivalry. Rivalry weekend this weekend in college football. Laying 27.5. That's pick number 3 for me.
All right, there you go. That's it. We're done. All right?
There,
I did my three.
Selections.
Did all three? You want to do the whole lay down or we're good? We've got to go to
Clemson,
break.
Laying 27.5.
All right.
Alabama laying 3.5.
Go ahead.
And Michigan plus 8.5.
All right, I'm going to take Auburn plus the 3.5. I'm sorry. Yeah, Auburn. I'm taking Georgia laying the 28 and change. And I'm taking, me and Moose are the same in this, I'm taking Michigan plus 8.5.
We're all the Wolverines.
Yes, sir.
As a family.
Yes, sir.
Taz of the Moose with you. We come back. We got NFL picks with you on a Wednesday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It certainly is. A good Wednesday. What's the matter, Taz?
I ate too much eggs and stuff. Chef Mike's stuff was great, but it's a little
fantastic.
Rich. Too much. What did you have? You didn't eat nothing.
I had. I did not. I'm going to eat post.
I'm a little bloated right now.
I'm going to eat post. I have a trouble. I don't love. I'll eat some things during the show.
Some things.
Oh, come on, easy now. Be easy. It's the holiday season.
Come on. Some things. I thought there was something wrong with you because I haven't seen you eating.
Oh my God.
But I got to run to the bathroom, I think.
All right. Well, we got some NFL picks coming your way. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go. Let's get to them, our NFL picks.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose NFL picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, Taz, we got to go quickly here. We're running out of time. I was 1-2 last week. What am I, 15... What is that, 15-20-1 on the season? 15-20-1 on the year. You were 2-1 a week ago.
Well.
You're 25-11 on the season, and you have a 9.5 game lead.
Well,
there you have it.
I don't want to brag.
You fire away. You first.
Oh, of course. Well, whatever Moose says, I will do. That's how this works. Let's discuss real briefly here. The L.A. Rams, who just come off a beating on a Thursday night, they're going to be on the road in Arizona. You know what? Arizona are a home dog, plus 3, I believe. I will take the Cardinals, plus 3. I like Arizona to win this game outright. I think Arizona wins the game. They beat the Rams by 7. How about that, Moose?
All right, you like the Rams by 7?
No.
You like the Cardinals by 7.
Yeah.
So you're taking the Cardinals plus the 3.
Cardinals plus 3, that's what
I
said.
Yeah.
Okay, just make sure. Okay, good, you're up.
It's reassuring. That's hammering that point. All right, that's pick number 1 for you. Pick number 1 for me. I'm going to take the Packers. I'm going to lay the 6.5 on the road. MetLife Stadium against the Giants. 1:00 kick on Sunday. It could rain, could be in the forecast. The Giants are in all sorts of trouble right now. Shermer's lost as a head coach. Give me the Packers. I think they win this game by a touchdown. Lay the 6.5. That's pick number 1 for me.
All right. Pick number 2. I will take. We got the Jets. They're going to be on the road against the Bengals. And the Bengals are a home dog also. They are plus 3.5, or as we say, 3.5. You know what? They could take their 3.5, the Bengals. I'll take the Jets. Jets are going to cover. I like the Jets in this game over the Bengals.
You like the Jets over the Bengals?
Yes.
That's pick number two for you.
Yes.
Pick number two for me. I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers. They got to get healthy, and it's got to come this week. They're home against the Washington Redskins and Dwayne Haskins. They're a 10-point favorite. I'm going to take Carolina. I think they boat race the Skins. I do. Too much McCaffrey. Too many weapons offensively, not enough for Washington. Give me the Carolina Panthers laying 10. That's pick number two for me.
All right, and then we will go with an all-Florida matchup. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're going to be on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are plus one. So, you know what? Give me the Jags in this thing. I think the Jags, they're due for a nice win. I think they beat the Buccaneers. I'll take Jacksonville.
All right, you're going to take Jacksonville. All right, and then... pick number three for me. Why not? I'm going to take the Cowboys. I'll lay the 6.5 against the Bills on Thanksgiving.
There it is.
I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys.
Just why not?
Why not? A little Thanksgiving.
I'm worried about that
middle game of the triple header.
You'll be sleeping anyway, bro. You'll be sleeping.
Yeah, 4:30. Give me a little something, a little extra interest in that
You'll
game.
You'll be out like a light.
Bro. I'll be heavy on the Cowboys in that one. Less than a touchdown. Give me Dallas. Laying 6.5. They need the victory. Pressure's on Garrett. Time to rally. Here comes the inaccurate Josh Allen.
There it is.
And the Buffalo Bills.
There it goes.
Run it down the throat of the Buffalo
Bills. I'm nervous about the D-line, from my D-line against
Down
Zeke
the throat
Elliott.
Of the Buffalo
I'm
Bills.
I'm worried about it. I ain't gonna lie.
All right, so quickly to recap.
Oh, got to recap.
Cowboys laying 6.5. Packers laying 6.5. Panthers laying 10.
All right, I got the Cardinals plus 3. I got the Jets laying 3.5, and I got the Jaguars laying 1. That's what I got. So there you go. There's your NFL picks from Taz and Moose.
All right, make sure to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. And
what a surprise.
Holiday edition of Awami.
Thanksgiving.
The Saints go marching into Atlanta and take a victory. -7 over the Falcons. Happy Thanksgiving. I will be enjoying my meatloaf mac and cheese machination, as you must.
Well, there you go.
With an apple martini. I know he likes that.
Martinis are delicious. A meatloaf, a mac and cheese machination.
Apple martinis?
Yeah, they're delicious.
Do you have hair in your chest?
I do. Listen.
Apple martini?
A great way to start a night. Yes.
If you're hanging out with...
the Bawami.
Right. I can't say what I want to say. You can't say nothing anymore.
I was out one time. We were in Atlantic City, right? Quick story here, right? Me, McMonico, Monzo, my buddy Sal, right? We're all down at AC. This is about, I'd say before kids. It's going back like 8-9 years ago, right? And we're at the Bellagio. We're at the middle bar, right? So we all order drinks. And they're getting beers and whatever, Jack and Coke and whatever.
Manly drinks.
Right. I get myself an apple martini.
Okay.
Right? So, and it has a little bit of, it has the apple slice in it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It has the apple slice in it.
Yes.
So the bartender, a female, goes, apple martini's ready, right? So I go to get my apple martini.
Yeah.
And unbeknownst to me, there's a guy there. Moose! Huge fan! I love the fan. That's great. I promptly put the apple martini
back
on the bar.
Man, this is not for me.
I go talk to him about the fan. He's asking me about questions about Chris and Mike.
That's classic.
McMonico, who has since lost weight, was a big guy at the time. I said, Chris, when we're done here, can you block his view so I can go get my drink?
That's a funny story. That is a funny story. Look, just leave that drink over there, man. I'm good right now. Leave it on the coaster. Put my
right, you know, and I'll take a Jack Honey.
Just give me a Jägermeister. I'm good.
Taz, good stuff, brother.
Listen, have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Everyone here and everybody on listening, it's great. You know?
Yes. Thank you to Chef Mike.
Yes, thanks, Mike.
Congrats for all the food.
Awesome.
Congratulations to Pete on the tremendous victory as well. Mike, Pete, thank you. Bogus, everyone for listening. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy the holiday. Till Monday, everybody. Taz and Moose, we out. Peace.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.